Okay, good evening. Let's turn, please, in our Bibles to the book of John and chapter 19. John and chapter 19. And I think it's a wonderful way to finish the Easter weekend with the observance of the Lord's table, seeing as the whole weekend is remembering our Lord's death and his burial and resurrection. So for the lesson this evening, it is titled The Wounds of the Son of God, and we're just going to look again here at the wounds of the Son of God that he were inflicted upon him, and we'll see here how our Lord paid for the punishment of our sins. But let's first of all read John and chapter 19. The Bible reads, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?' Jesus answered, 'Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.' And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. But he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, 'Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wounds which you suffered out of your love for us, and Lord, that you might set us free. We just pray, Lord, that after a big weekend and a big day, Lord, that you might just help us to be able to focus one more time, Lord, as we focus upon you and would seek to remember you this night, Lord Jesus, and observe this table with these elements here, Lord. We just pray that you might bless and help, and you might just feed our souls. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to spend a little bit of time here, just focusing here on the wounds of the Son of God that he suffered for us. And so we're going to look at his wounds prior to his crucifixion and his wounds during his crucifixion. First of all, we see here in his wounds prior to crucifixion, we see his wounded body. Verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And this was prophesied many hundreds of years before that Christ would be scourged. We can see that in Psalm 129 and verse 3. It says, the ploughers ploughed upon my back, they made long their furrows. And in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, it says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And so we see here that in that verse there, in Isaiah 50 and verse 6, he says, I gave my back to the smiters. And we see here willing submission upon the part of our Lord Jesus, that he willingly received this flagellation with the Roman cat of nine tails. It was made from leather and had sharpened pieces of bone woven into the very leather thongs themselves, and it would tear the flesh from the bone and would have caused excruciating pain. It was a sort of flagellation that someone could even die from, even without crucifixion, and was sometimes something that was done to slaves prior to their crucifixion. And yet we see here there was a willingness upon the behalf of Christ to take this. So I do not believe there would have been any resistance on his part. No fighting of those who took his hands and bound them, but willingly would have had his hands bound and received these stripes. And we don't know how many it would have been. There was in Jewish law, someone was to be beaten with no more than 40 stripes, but in Roman law there was no such restrictions, and so it could have been any number that he received. But we know that his visage was very much marred by this, and it was something that was not by no means a small thing. Would have caused excruciating pain. You say, why so? And well, it was for us that he did this. Isaiah 53 verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, okay, there of the Roman catenary, his stripes, we are healed. Okay, and A.P. Barnes says the healing here referred to is spiritual healing or healing from sin. Okay, so, and really sin, don't we see in sin is really that spiritually that we are sick, okay, that we are in a terrible way, we are under God's condemnation, and yet the pain that our Lord Jesus went through, he took that those scourging, that whipping, as well as the crucifixion, to suffer for our sins, that we would be spiritually healed, that we would be forgiven, that we would be made new again. Next also, let's see here, not only his wounded body, but his wounded head prior to his crucifixion, verses 2 to 5. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And so here we see the plaiting of the crown of thorns, and exactly as to which thorn, we're not sure, but it could have been the thorn from the jujube tree. There's even a tree in Palestine, in the land of Israel, which is called Christ's thorn, okay, very nasty, long thorns, and if you haven't had much to do with thorns, just try touching the point of one of them, okay, and you see how sharp they are and how much pain they inflict. And to mock our Lord, they wound these thorns into a makeshift crown and placed it upon his head. And so this is an ongoing suffering here. We see that even Christ was brought forth before the multitude wearing the crown of thorns, and so this would have been causing him great discomfiture. And even taking the reed and smiting his head, and would have caused those thorns to pierce into the head of the sinless Son of God. And in Genesis 3:15, we see the first reference to Christ the Messiah. Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And then in Genesis 3:18, we see reference to the thorns, due to the ground being cursed because of sin. "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." And then we see Christ here wearing those thorns. He is the Son of God who went and suffered for our sins. And as the sacred hymn says, "O sacred head, now wounded with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown, how pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn, how does that visage language which once was bright as morn." And we see here the head of our Lord Jesus was wounded and disrespected in this way, and he suffered willingly for us. Then we see also his wounds during crucifixion. His wounds during crucifixion. Let's go to verses 16 to 18. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." And again, we see that this was prophesied many hundreds of years ago, that Christ would be pierced. Psalm 22 verse 16 says, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." And this prophecy that the Messiah would be pierced was made hundreds of years before Christ, and even before the invention of crucifixion, it was prophesied that Christ would suffer and have his hands and his feet pierced. Let's just focus for a moment on the hands of our Lord. And in the Bible it says that Christ, which says, in him was no sin. Okay, our Lord Jesus was sinless. And we can think there of his carpenter's hands. They said, "Is not this the carpenter?" And our Lord Jesus' hands were never used in sleight or in trickery or to cheat someone. Or no sleight of hand, no tricks with people, but our Lord Jesus' hands were employed in good and honest work. We also see his clean hands, spiritually clean. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And how much could we look at our own lives and think back over time and time again where our hands were used in the service of sin? That our hands themselves, not wrong, given to us by God, and yet because of our sin, we could think back over many times where due to our own sinful being, our hands have been used in some way. Our hands where we have injured someone, or our hands have handled something we ought not, or got into something we ought not, and we regret it and we wish we had never done it. And yet our Lord never. His hands were completely morally clean. We also see his compassionate hands, and we see that in our Lord Jesus, that his hands, that he was compassionate and used his hands in a kind way. Mark 1:41 is an example. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. So he cleansed the leper, someone that you would not want to be in that time close to, let alone touch. And yet our Lord Jesus, he could have healed him without touching him, but yet he reached out and in compassion touched him and healed him. We also think of his miraculous hands, not only that he made the entire world, but his miraculous hands here on earth. Mark 6:41, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And we see there his miraculous hands, which fed thousands of people in that time of need. It took that food, broke it, multiplied it to all those people. Also, we see his hands were gentle. Mark 10:13-16, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Don't miss this last verse. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. That was our Lord Jesus, so very gentle. And as that beautiful song that was sung for us on Friday and today says, beautiful hands that broke the bread, cared for the sick and raised the dead, hands full of feeling, comfort and healing, beautiful hands of Jesus. And yet, those hands that we have spoken so much about and continue to speak about were pierced for us. Zechariah 13:6 says, And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So his wounded hands. Next also we see his wounded feet here. They crucified him, so nails would have been pierced through the hands and through the feet here. And again, this was as we've said earlier, it was prophesied back hundreds of years before. They pierced my hands and my feet. But let's think now for a moment about the feet of our Lord. And first of all, his servants' feet. Matthew 9:35 says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And we see that the feet of our Lord were the vehicles which took him places that he might do the will of his Father. And how he perfectly did that, how he went about all the cities, teaching, preaching, ministering, serving others. That was our Lord Jesus. Mark 10:45, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And look, how many times have we gone places and done things that when perhaps that time could have been redirected into something better, when perhaps someone else needed us, and yet we put ourselves first. And we used our feet to go our own way, and perhaps into even to a situation where God did not want us to be, and yet not so with our Lord Jesus. He perfectly obeyed the will of his Father without fail. And then also his sinless feet. Says how in Acts 10:38, says how Peter was speaking here, I believe, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, in this part here, don't miss, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we see how that the Lord Jesus, again, his feet being the vehicles to take him to do that which was good. And how often have our feet carried us into the service of sin? How many times have our feet been the vehicles which have taken us in the pursuit to the pursuit of an ungodly exercise of some sort, taken us to an ungodly location? We could all testify to having gone somewhere we should not go to do something we know we ought not do, but not so with our Lord Jesus. This was never the case. His feet never ran to do mischief as ours have. They were always used for good in the service of his Father. Even when our Lord righteously cleansed the temple, we see he was in no carnal hurry. He went about doing good. That was our Lord Jesus. And yet, his feet were pierced for us. And he suffered there, hanging there, his hands and his feet pierced at that time. Let's also look now at his wounded side. This was after his death. Okay, he gave up the ghost in verse 30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And so we see that one of the ways that they would speed up the process of crucifixion to someone who's still alive, it's very awful, they'll break the legs of the individual, then they would no longer be able to hold their weight up, and they would then suffocate and die. But we see that our Lord, he had already died, so they didn't do that. It was prophesied that none of his bones would be broken, and so a spear was thrust into his side, and there forthwith there flowed out blood and water. Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And interesting with our Lord's sufferings that even when he came alive again, the wounds could still be seen. And he called on people to reach forward and place their fingers into the nail prints, or to thrust their hand into his side. Okay, at least said that to Thomas, and told not to be to not be faithless, but believing. So it seems that those wounds those scars will always be there. Okay, and that was what Christ. You say, why did Christ suffer all of that? Why was he punished in that way? It was for you and it was for me. Isaiah 53:5. We'll finish with this verse. "But he was wounded for our transgressions; he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Okay, so that's what those wounds were for. With those thoughts in mind, we think of the sufferings of our Lord. And we know that was not the end of the story, okay, but also our Lord being buried and rising again victorious over death. But with those thoughts in mind, let's prepare now for the Lord's table. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, please.